If you would, kindly turn in your Bibles to Luke 17, and we're going to be reading 11 through 19. Luke 17, 11 through 19. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Master, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that they went and were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole." May the Lord add a rich blessing to the reading of this word and help us to be thankful during the season of Thanksgiving.
Good morning, church. Happy Sabbath to all of you. And I think this week coming up might be a uniquely different but still special weekend for us to spend with our immediate family members and have a moment of Thanksgiving. So from myself and from my family and to all of you, I just want to wish you all a happy Thanksgiving season as we approach a very different and trying time. But you know what? Amidst all types of adversity, there is always a gem of Thanksgiving that can truly be found. And the deeper and more truly Christ is active in our lives, so too is there more things that will be revealed for us to be thankful for. So with that being said, you know, in this area, I think anyone who grew up here probably couldn't avoid the story of the first Thanksgiving, pilgrims, and all of that stuff. That is not the focus of us today, but just with that on mind, something was interesting. So you could say the pilgrims arrived at 1620. And they got together and decided to be thankful for some certain things. And I'm not overlooking the negative impacts that some of the natives that were here had due to this interaction. But just looking at their experience as a group, they got together 3 years after arrival in 1623 and decided to issue a proclamation and gather for Thanksgiving. And it's interesting that they had some choices to make, if you think about it, right? They could have thanked God for the fact that, you know, they were alive and still functioning. But they could have also, in a way, maybe they could have cursed God as well. They lost over half of the people that departed England. Half of them had passed away at that point. They also could have maybe been a little upset because they landed in Plymouth instead of, I don't know, in Georgia or North Carolina, somewhere a little bit more hospitable to, you know, growing a crop or surviving. But instead, they chose to be thankful. Even though they had a lot that they could have complained about, they chose to be thankful and they knew to whom to give the glory, to the Lord. Are you thankful today? Do you realize how much God has given us and truly blessed us with? Or maybe you haven't fully committed your life to Christ yet. Maybe there's something you're still holding back. But yet, do you realize how much God has still done in your life? We can go through life complaining, or we can be thankful. Today we're going to look at the healing of the 10 lepers by Jesus, recorded in Luke 17, 11 through 19. And as we look at the story, I hope that we can gain a few insights that will help us to be thankful for some things in our lives. You know, we definitely, and I'm sure frequently, we think of and we have spoken about, you know, the challenges that we are going through living in difficult times. There's no other way to wrap it. And during these times of difficulty, this has also offered us a unique time to be more reflective. We've all, in some ways, had to have spent a little bit more time alone. And it's during these times that we can truly sit down and see the work of God in our lives amidst the trial and tribulations. So let's go back a few thousand years and look at the lives of these 10. We have 10 individuals that were afflicted with leprosy. So just to bring us all up to speed about this, leprosy at that time was a generic term that applied to a variety of skin disorders, from something simple as psoriasis to true leprosy. Now, its symptoms range from, you know, white patches on the skin to running sores, so the loss of, you know, fingers and toes. It was pretty extreme, the range and variety of symptoms. For the Jews, it was a dreaded disease, which rendered its victims not only physically impacted, but ceremonially unclean. In other words, that made them unfit to worship. And you could see some of this in Leviticus 13:3 if you want to take a peek later on. Anyone who came in contact with a leopard was also considered unclean. So this is important to note because the Jewish people at this time were very communal. Their identity wasn't the one of the individual, but it was as part of the community. And as a community of believers, they worshiped together. They had a whole system of belief. And once you had become unclean, you were disconnected from that community. You were isolated individually, but also you weren't able to worship. Therefore, lepers were isolated from the rest of the community so that the members of the community could maintain their status as worshipers. So this disease, it would manifest itself as a skin condition, right? But it actually really starts deep down in the joints and bone marrow. I was doing a little research onto this, and on the World Health Organization website, which I've actually become very, very familiar with this past year, surprisingly, the average incubation period for this disease is 5 years. The onset of symptoms can take as short as a year, up to 20 years. So you can have this disease, you don't even know you have it, it's deep inside your body until one day it expresses itself on the outside. So today, we don't hear too much about it at all, really, this disease. However, it still does exist in some parts of the world, and there is an active effort to try to eradicate it from our world currently. I do have some positive news to report that since 2002, the number of cases in the world has gone down from approximately 635,000 to the most recent data I found from 2018, just a little over 200,000. To give you a little bit broader perspective, back in the 1980s, the decade in which I was born, there was about 5.2 million individuals afflicted. So we have good news to report. We have had some progress in this, and that's a great news because this is affliction that you really do not want. Now, to get back on to Christ's day, in Jesus' day, if you had leprosy, the Old Testament law commanded that you be put out of the city. You could no longer live with your friends and family. You had to keep a far distance away from not only the city or your family, but also the main ways or the highways of travel, because that would be the places where people pass through, and you wouldn't want to be near others to contaminate them as well, or to make them unclean. To add insult to injury, if you were a leper, it was your obligation to shout out, "Unclean, unclean, unclean," whenever you saw others coming by. So this would give other people the chance to get out of the way. So lepers would typically congregate together outside of the cities and help each other survive. They would beg at the city gates for food, and if you were fortunate enough to have family around, they could, you know, leave you some food outside on a rock, and then once they left, you could maybe go get some as long, if it was still there. The life of a leper in some way could be compared to the way that we currently are treating people who come down with or are exposed to the coronavirus. Except we're not talking about a period of 10 to 14 days. We're talking about the rest of your life. I don't know for any one of you that has been forced to just spend a couple weeks alone in the home. It paints a stark contrast when you think the rest of your earthly existence. The plot of a leper was a serious one, a lonely one, a seemingly helpless one. And these 10 individuals that we were looking at today, they only had one hope. And fortunately for them, they ran into Jesus. Being a leper was a terrible way to live your life. And as Jesus is getting closer to his crucifixion, he's going to come across 10 lepers who, after meeting him, their lives would truly never be the same. Let's look at the scriptures. We're going to go back to our scripture reading. And this morning, fortunately, we're going to just stay right there in our main text. No flipping around today. So if you want, please open to Luke chapter 17, and we're going to explore again verses 11 through 19, but we'll go a little bit at a time as we go through this morning. Luke chapter 17, we're going to start in verse 11. Just give me a moment. I want to try to read a different version of the Bible today, and it decided to close on me. Okay, I'll be reading the NIV this morning, starting in verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance. So these 10 individuals, they knew they had a problem. Everybody knew they had the problem. You could see it. They couldn't hide it. They've been outcasts. They knew they needed help, and they knew that they had no hope. Their future and outlook was bleak. But what the hope did they have? They looked up, and they saw someone. Now, just jumping forward to our present day, to ourselves, if we're going to be thankful, we need to understand that we have a need, or we have needs, right, that need to be addressed. If we are self-sufficient, then we're apt not to be thankful because we'll feel like we have no need. These 10 people had a disease they could see. They had a sickness that afflicted them in a way that they could see. The sickness started out in their depths of their being, invisible to their eye or even to their mind. But then their bodies finally started to show this condition on their skin. Interestingly enough, to relate it to all of us, all who have ever lived have a disease. It's called sin. It starts deep in our innermost being, and then it starts to manifest itself in our lives. We all need to understand we need a cure. We need a cure for that disease. This disease that separates us from God, we need not just a treatment, but a cure. There's not a single person here today, starting with me and all of us, that is here without a need. We all have a deep need. And a person who has this deep need also has hope for a cure and a reason to be thankful. But if you don't realize your need, how can you begin to be thankful? So these 10 men were keenly aware of their need. So for us, once you discover you have a need, once you have it in your mind and you're cognizant of it and you're willing to admit it, what will you do? Where will you go to get this cure that you desperately need? So here, we have 10 who are afflicted with this horrible disease, leprosy. They're standing at a distance as required by the law, and they were raising their voices to try to get Jesus' attention. Medical experts say that they couldn't shout because many times leprosy would also impact the vocal cords and keep you from being able to yell. And we'll actually have evidence of this later in the chapter when the healed one comes back. It's noted that he's actually shouting now, not just speaking with a raised voice. So there's no telling how many different things these people might have tried to get rid of the disease, to get rid of their problem. You know, if I was them, I probably would have tried anything. I would have waded by a pool. I would have dipped myself into healing. I probably would have tried this tonic or that tonic or gone to here or there. But now they're going to go to Jesus. So these men, they are at the gate to beg for money and are not asking Jesus for mercy. They want Jesus to heal them of their disease. They knew he could do it because of his reputation. They must have known about the raising of Lazarus. And maybe they even heard of other people who had been healed of Christ. Just the instances that are noted in the Bible are not the only instances that have occurred. Jesus had a reputation. Everyone knew who he was. And they had their opportunity. They had a need, and they're taking it to Christ. Now, continuing on in verse 13, let's continue our story here this morning. So we had our 10, they stood at a distance, and beginning in verse 13, and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." You see, one of the things that will lead us to being thankful is going to the right place for help. When we go to the right place for help, we can get that help. Many people go to the wrong place for help. And when you think about our problem with sin, many people turn to substances. They'll turn to a whole plethora of things that are out there in the world to offer you help, except the true cure, which we find in God. We need a help with our sin sickness. We must go to the right place for the cure. Jesus is the place we need to go. These men knew where to go for the cure, and as well as they could go to that cure is the same cure that we have available for us for our sin problem or any problem we encounter in life. Do you know where you need to go? See, I know of many people who said, I went to Jesus, I went to him for his cure to help me with this and help with that, but he didn't help me out. But the question remains, did they really go to Christ? Did they truly give all to him and allowed him to truly do what he can do? I'd say they probably did not, because when you truly go to Christ, when you give all to him and you're not leaving anything under the blankets, anything under the bed hidden, anything in the closet, when you just truly let him in and have you for who you are, he will never disappoint you. Not a one time. If you develop a relationship with Christ, you will be overflowing with thanksgiving for what he has done for you, because he does not hold back to those who love him. After these men call out to Christ, Jesus responds to them. Starting in verse 14. When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. You see, Jesus didn't just heal them on the spot. Instead, he tells them to go show themselves to the priest. In the Old Testament, when a person was thought to be healed of leprosy, they would have to go to the priest, who would then pronounce them cured and therefore clean again, so they could come to worship and rejoin the community. Jesus was abiding by the law. The men had enough faith to do what they were told. And in verse 14, we find that as they were going to see the priest, it happened. They were cleansed. Can you imagine the amount of time that they were afflicted, without hope, wandering, suffering, wondering, just feeling isolated and cut off? They had their date with destiny and a hope, and they didn't even know it. So too, as we travel through and the afflictions of life have hit us, or we feel isolated and alone, no one else could possibly understand what I'm going through, I'm uniquely afflicted, there is a hope for us. And not only a hope for now, but we have an eternal hope for Christ, who can offer us a cure to what ails us, but hope for the everlasting. So even though life may come throw us here or there, we know we have a hope and a salvation that will endure forever. So our 10 lepers were sent off on a trip. This is a trip that it could be estimated would have been about 20 to 30 miles, and you could say reasonably would take a few days for them to get to the priest. So we don't really know how far along when the healing actually took place, but we do know it happened. And I wonder, what was going through the mind of these people if it took a couple days for the healing to take place? Can you imagine? You were just told to go, you're going to be cleansed, but it just doesn't quite happen right away. I wonder what they were thinking. What would have happened to the men if they had decided not to be obedient to Jesus? They would have not been healed. Their healing was based on their faithfulness to Jesus. How many times do we find ourselves feeling that we have nothing to be thankful for? I wonder how many blessings we cheat ourselves out of because we're not obedient to God's word. Oftentimes I can remember as a kid, you know, just looking at the Ten Commandments thinking, oh, there's a rule for this, a rule for that, right? But God in his love gives us these guidelines, these little waymarks that when you don't follow them, what are the consequences of lying and cheating and coveting and this and that and murder? They're horrific. They're wonderful markers of love to keep us the way that we should be, because it's going to result in our actual happiness, and not for us individually, but collectively. Many times in lives, I mean, I've even dug my own hole, got myself into a problem, and then I have allowed myself at sometimes to think, man, why did God allow this to happen when I was the one with the shovel digging that hole and jumping in? You know, the good news is for these 10, this isn't what happened. They had faith. They responded and they went. They had faith in what Jesus could do for them, and they did what they were told. And they knew who to be thankful for, as we will see. As they were obedient, they were healed. But what did they do? Let's look at verses 15 through 18. One of them, starting on verse 15, when he saw that he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all the 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except for this foreigner? You see, one of the 10 turned back, headed back to praise God for his healing. Notice, when they were calling out to Jesus, it was with a raised voice. Remember we had pointed that out earlier on? But now this one, the one that was healed that decided to come back, was shouting praise to God. The one who returned wasn't even a Jew. He was a Samaritan, a foreigner, ones that the Jews did not look kindly upon. They had a little bit of an issue going back some time. But this was the one who came back. What about the other nine? They had enough faith to do what they were told, but not to return to thank Christ for their healing? Why didn't they return? Maybe they were afraid if they did, before they saw the priest, they wouldn't be healed. Maybe it was anxiety to get back to their families and lives or to society. All right. Just don't mind me. This is one of the times I actually wish I had water up here. But I think we're good now. Maybe they just followed the crowd. Nine of the ten didn't go. You know how it is, you're in a group, well, you know, everybody else is going one way. Yeah, you know, maybe that's why. Or maybe just plain thoughtlessness of their great debt to God. Maybe they thought they'd catch them later. I don't know. Maybe they thought they were lucky. You know, a Christian writer wrote in an article in Christianity Today talking about an issue that is common throughout different churches. And he wrote that our biggest problem in the church today is the vast majority of Christians who claim to have known the Master's cured and who return not to thank him by their presence, prayer, testimony, and support of his church. In fact, the whole Christian life is honestly one big thank you, the living expression of our gratitude to God for his goodness, but we take him for granted. And what we take for granted, we never take seriously. So, in other words, another way to look at being a disciple of Christ, in essence, is an act of thankful response to his spiritual healing in our lives. How many times have we chalked up great blessings in our lives unknowingly to good luck, when actually it was the hand of God moving boulders out of our way, dangers and obstacles that we didn't even realize it. It wasn't just something of luck. You were touched by the hand of God. The nine didn't return. That's all we know. But many people will come to Christ and to be baptized for the remissions of their sins, to receive the gift of the indwelling Christ, the Holy Spirit in their lives, only to do nothing for God. It is because one of the reasons could be they do not appreciate what God has done for them. Many times, and I can remember this when I was, well, myself when I was younger, but also even when I had little kids, which was a while ago, unfortunately. Oftentimes, when we receive gifts that we want, when we get what we want, we do not return or react with gratitude. And I have immense gratitude for my brother bringing me some water. Not only is it water, but it's cold. The Samaritan knew who to thank for his healing. Do we know to whom to be thankful to? Especially during this season of Thanksgiving, during this season of trial, even during this, do we remember to whom we should be thankful for? Jesus finishes this discussion with the one who returned by telling him something very important in verse 19. Key. I would say it's foundational to understand this whole exchange. In verse 19, Christ finishes this conversation and says to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Before even leaving, when Christ told them to depart, there was a belief that Christ would make him whole. Even though there was the eyes, the mind had no reason to believe that there was going to be a healing, there was a faith in Christ and an action that occurred, the step towards healing, the departure to go receive that healing because of belief. Amen. (Clears throat) Now, jumping forward to us today, what do you think this one who was healed did with his life? He was a Samaritan. He was healed by Jesus. I bet you he probably, at the very least, enjoyed his healing. Wouldn't you agree? The ability to rejoin the community, to be physically whole. But I bet you, and I bet you it doesn't, not much of a stretch here, would you say he probably told others about this experience? Might have told 1, 2, 10, 50, 100 people about running into Jesus and what it meant for him in his life? I wonder if in the book of Acts, chapters 8 and 9, when it talks about the gospel going to Samaria and how it was received with great joy, who knows? Maybe this one person who was healed by Christ that day went back to Samaria and was key to laying the way for the word to catch fire and receive there as it was recounted in the book of Acts, chapters 8 and 9. I do know this. A thankful person is a happy person. And on the other side of the coin, an ungrateful person is sour and one who wastes life at being mad or feeling cheated over everything. There are things that will hit us in a negative way, and we might feel like we're on the short end of the stick. But at every moment we have something to be concerned about, there's always so much more we can be thankful for. Jesus blesses us, and he wants us to enjoy what he gives. Do you have a lot to be thankful for? Do we all have a lot to be thankful for? I believe we do. Even with the winds blowing, even living during difficult times, collectively and individually, there's so much to be thankful for. If you belong to Jesus, you should be thanking him every day for the opportunity he's given us to be his follower. He has done so much for you that our minds can't even fathom. He wants to do even so much more for you. Many times in life, we can look at the glass as half empty, but it's truly half full. And that's not just a word, but it's the truth. Listen to this following reading from an unknown author, just to give perspective on thankfulness. Things I am thankful for is what this short piece is titled. The mess to clean up after the party, because it means I have been surrounded by friends. The taxes I pay, because it means I'm employed. The clothes that fit a little too snug, because I have enough to eat. My shadow who watches me work, because it means I'm out in the sunshine. A lawn that needs mowing, windows that need cleaning, gutters that need fixing, because it means I have a home. The spot I find at the far end of the parking lot, because it means I'm capable of walking. All the complaining I hear about our government, because it means we have freedom of speech. My huge heating bill, because it means I'm warm. The lady behind me, or the gentleman behind me in church, who sings off key, I think that might be me, because it means I can hear. And I don't think it might be me. It's definitely me. The piles of laundry and ironing, because it means my loved ones are nearby. Weariness and aching of muscles at the end of the day, because it means I've been productive. The alarm that goes off early in the morning, because it means I'm alive. The old rugged cross, because it means my faith is in Jesus Christ. Jesus is calling you today. Will you come and be thankful for all the blessings that he has given us in life? Brothers and sisters, in closing, I just want to say thank you for the opportunity to share the word with you this morning. And I just want to invite you during this season that we call Thanksgiving, that we can truly, no matter our circumstance, turn to Christ, turn over our concerns to him, and truly be thankful for what he has done, can do, and will do in our lives. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just come together. We want to just express our eternal gratitude and thankfulness for just the very breath that we draw today. You have given us a multitude of gifts, the gift of life, the gift of love, the gift of family, and the gift just to endure this trial, this time on earth together. But more importantly, you have given us of yourself an invitation to join the divine family, to accept Jesus, to be one with you. Oh, Father God, may we leave here changed this day. May we leave dependent upon you for our strength, for our sustenance, and to be constantly walking with a breath and thought of gratitude. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.